church was like, April, why aren't you wearing red? And I was like, it's because red's the liturgical color. And I'm like, I don't have summer red. So, but this is the day that we celebrate that God poured out his spirit and he fulfilled his promise. And so we're going to read scriptures and we're going to sing songs about Holy Spirit. And my prayer today is that we wouldn't just hear about him, but we would encounter him. Lord, we thank you for this Pentecost Sunday. And Lord, we thank you that you are a promise keeper. That everything that you have said, you've done. Everything that hasn't yet been fulfilled in your word, Lord, you're going to do it. Because you are a promise keeper. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come beyond the sacred page, that we would encounter you. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and breathe on your word as it's read, as it's played, as it's sung, as it's declared. And I pray the experience that John Wesley had and so many other men and women before him and after him that have had an encounter. Wesley wrote that his heart was strangely warmed. Lord, I pray that we would encounter you today in a very deep way, in a real way. And Lord, we want to see you, and we want to encounter you. So come, Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
praises this morning, and one of them is Anita Gross's daughter, Samantha, graduated from dental school, so she's now Dr. Samantha Gross. So we rejoice in that, and we've been praying for Abby's mama, Sally, and Sally is out of the hospital, and she is home, and there's we need to continue to pray there, but we're thankful that Sally Miller is out of the hospital. I'm getting a bit of an echo. So let us pray. Father, we bless you and we praise you. We thank you, God, for graduations and those that have accomplished, Lord, high school, college. Lord, we just thank you for them. We thank you for Samantha. And Lord, we bless her. What a feat, Lord, to graduate from dental school. And we just honor that and we bless Samantha in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Sally Miller. Lord, we thank you that she's out of the hospital. And Lord, we pray peace on Abby and peace on Sally. God, I pray you'd sustain her. We pray strength for Sally. And we just bless her in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Mary Cruz. Jesus, we pray that you would bless her, that you would strengthen those lungs and strengthen her body in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for the Don Burmester family, Jesus, as he has gone on to be with you. And Lord, we thank you that he's not suffering anymore. We thank you that he's not in pain anymore. We thank you, God, that he has so been grieving Shirley's death. And Lord, we thank you that he's at peace. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort that family. We pray for Darlene, Jesus, that you would give her grace, that you would give her comfort. We pray for that, for Donna, Lord, Don's daughter, that just mercy there, your strength to be upon her. And God, we just lift that family up to you. We pray for the Willie family, Lord, as they continue to grieve the death of Arlene. God, we ask your mercy and comfort upon the Willie family in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Eden, Abby's grandniece, little six-year-old girl with extensive physical, mental issues. And Lord, we pray for that broken body. And Lord, we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. And Lord, we ask a miracle on behalf of Eden. We ask you to heal. We ask you to comfort. We ask you to restore little six-year-old girl in a body cast who can't communicate. And Lord, we just ask your help and your mercy and your peace and your comfort on Eden in Jesus' name. We pray for Susan Richardson. We pray for her back. God, we ask for peace on Susan. We ask healing on that back in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Pam Pereira. Lord, traveling mercies for her in Jesus' name. God, we pray for this person that's having surgery. God, we ask for a good report. We ask you for healing and a touch in Jesus' name. Remind the Lord of Bonnie Williams right now, and we just ask your sustaining grace on Bonnie and Jerry. Lord, Brenda Bailey, God, we miss Brenda. And Lord, we just pray you'd bless her and her new home in Ohio. God, just bless Brenda this morning in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Don, Michael, and Mike and Dixie's friend, Gigi and Dillard. God, we pray for Gigi, who just needs a touch from you, Jesus. We pray that the mystery of what's going on with her body, that it would be resolved. We ask peace to be upon them, Lord, your grace and your healing on Gigi and Dillard in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And Lord, we ask your mercy on our country, on all of the grieving, the mourning, the hurting, the pain. And Lord, we thank you that your word says that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, we pray for your mercy on our nation. We pray wisdom on our leaders. Lord, we pray for your church, your people, that you would give us courage, that you would give us boldness, that you would give us wisdom. I thank you, Lord, that your word says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. A church on fire, a church full of love, a church full of power. And Lord, I pray we would be that. I speak peace and comfort on your people. Lord, we need you. We need you. And Lord, we pray and we remember. And Lord, we do pray it. The prayer who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We offer it up to you. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the offerings and bless the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand and we'll sing the doxology. John 14, verses 18 through 19 and 25 through 27. Hear the word of the Lord.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you with. I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Amen. If we need to hear one word, it's that one, isn't it? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We're going to sing, it's surely the presence of the Lord, and going right into He is here. Thank you. gospel? How do you explain the unexplainable? Lord, I pray that we would encounter you today, truly beyond the sacred page, that we would encounter you. Anoint me, God, to exhort your people today. But Lord, I pray that your spirit in you would be the centerpiece. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us. Come, Holy Spirit, and move us. Come, Holy Spirit, and comfort us. Guide us, teach us, empower us, make us hungry for more of Jesus. Anoint me, Jesus. Anoint me in your name. Lord, anoint us to hear, and I pray we would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49, it's the very last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And he tells his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait, because the Father is going to give the promise. That's his last words. And on this day, we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. It's the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. And last year, I talked a lot, I preached a whole sermon on Holy Spirit as promise. And so I'm not going to touch a lot on that today. But in John chapter 14, actually, it's John 14 and 15. There's a word that is used three different times to describe Holy Spirit. Jesus says that word, and we're going to look at that in a moment. And it's such a unique word, and you know that it's unique when you look at the English translations of it, because depending on your Bible, it translates that word advocate. It translates that word helper. It translates that word comforter. There's another one there. We're going to get to it in a minute. But who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? And what is its practical meaning in our lives? We're going to look at that. I think for some of us, Holy Spirit, when you talk about Holy Spirit, it might make you a little bit nervous. It might be like, I know as a kid, they called the Holy Spirit Holy Ghost. And it kind of scared me growing up in church. Like, well, who's the Holy Ghost? Who is that? He's kind of mysterious. And in the mainline denominations, we kind of push him over to the side. We think Holy Spirit is in the realm of those crazy charismatics. So we kind of push him over on the side. But the truth is, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need him. And we are suffering in our nation. Because the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we haven't allowed Holy Spirit in. And we haven't allowed him to do the sanctifying work and the holy work and doing the miracles that he wants to do in our individual lives. And we need him. We desperately, desperately, desperately need him. We don't need to fear him. John 14, verse 26. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The context that Jesus is preaching here is that the disciples are scared. John 14 through 17 is some of the most intimate teachings and sayings of Jesus in all of the Bible. Only John has that section. And the disciples are scared. They're afraid. Jesus has said that he's going away. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. And he says to them, in the midst of their fear, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of things are shifting and things are changing, and we feel that in our culture right now, don't we? The shift, there's a change, and there's uncertainty, and there's a fear. And Jesus comes right into that circumstance, and he says, my Father is going to send the help. a defense attorney, somebody coming and pleading the case. It can mean somebody that comes along to assist and to help. And that's the word that Jesus uses there. The parakletos, the helper, the advocate, the one to come alongside. And that word appears two more times in John as Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He mentions him again in John chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. But when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And he says it again in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. I emailed and I posted it on Facebook, the four ways that our English translations translate that word. In the New Revised, the New American, and the NLT, they translate that word in those three passages as the advocate. The advocate. The advocate will come to you. How many of you need an advocate in the Christian life? You need somebody to come and help you. You need somebody to plead your case and be your advocate. That is who Holy Spirit is. He comes and he hasn't left you alone. And in this time of uncertainty, in this time of fear, we have a friend. We have, Jesus has, he's telling these fearful disciples, and he says, the advocate will come to you. The New American Standard, the ESV, the New King James, translates that word, the helper. How many of you need a helper? I do. Somebody to come alongside and help. Somebody to come alongside and whisper in your ear and say, I love you. I love you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And that is who the Holy Spirit is. The RSV and the NIV translate that little word, comforter. He's all of those things. The comforter. David, in his Psalms, writes, Lord, surround me with songs of deliverance. And that has been one way the Lord has ministered to me through the years. I don't know why. I think all of us are individuals. All of us have ways the Lord comforts us, encourages us. Some, it's in the gardens. It's being outside. Some of us, and for me, music has just always been a huge part of my life. I think growing up with my mom, playing the piano and singing, and I was in the chorus and orchestra and played the oboe for years, and it's just music has just been a huge part of my life, and he will comfort me through music. When I sleep at night and I'm afraid, oftentimes Holy Spirit will be singing me a song, and that's one way he comforts us, and he gives us peace, and that's who he is. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's an advocate. He's a helper. He's a comforter. And the other way that the English translates that is counselor. Counselor. And that has more of not having to, like, you sit down with a therapist. Not really so much that. It's more of like an attorney counselor. Somebody that comes and advocates for you. So it's a tie-in with the advocate. And somebody that pleads your case, somebody that helps you, somebody that walks alongside you. And so to these fearful disciples, anxiety-ridden, fearful, uncertain, Jesus comes to them and says, it's better that I go away, and the Father will send the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter. And the starting point in all of this, it to John chapter 3 and Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus doesn't understand that. And Jesus tells his teacher, tells him an Old Testament story. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And Jesus is telling this teacher, this moral man, that it's not good enough to just follow the rules and be a good person. You have to be born again and be born of the Spirit. And Pentecost is when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, it starts with believing in him and being born again. That's where it starts. That's just the very, very, very beginning. And walking with the Lord and walking with the Spirit, it is being born again and having a new create. You're a new creation now in Christ, and having your mind renewed and being filled with him and moving with him. And who is the Holy Spirit? I've gone through his different names. But what does he do? What does he do? He convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. In that same passage as John 14, and let's see, that comes up later. But he's our teacher. Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the Spirit of truth, and he guides us into all the truth. And he convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's what he does. And as we are born again, and we can't come to Jesus without Holy Spirit opening our eyes and convicting us, and he reveals truth to us. And then as we walk with him, he continues to unveil Jesus and show us who Jesus is and shows us more of him. And the Holy Spirit gives us power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples, he's ascending into heaven, and he says, go and wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So they go to Jerusalem, and they wait. And the day of Pentecost came, and they were all together in one place. And they heard the sound like a mighty rushing wind. And tongues of fire came and rested on each one of them. And they began to declare the wonders of God in all of the known tongues, because there were people from all over the world in Jerusalem at that time. And they are declaring the wonders of God in tongues that they could not speak. And people from all over the world are hearing about it. And they say, what is going on? Are you people drunk? What is happening? And Peter gets up and he preaches. And he says, no, these men and women are not drunk as you suppose. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter preaches this bold message. This one who had denied Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit came up on him, it turned a coward into this courageous preacher of the gospel. And they preached, and 3,000, is it 3,000 that day? 3,000 people. 3,000 people came and believed in Jesus that day. And if we ever needed another outpouring of Holy Spirit, we need it now. Because we're living in a fearful time, aren't we? All these shootings, all this uncertainty, all economic, you know, gas, $5 a gallon, good night, you know. And it's like, what is going on, man? Lord, what is happening? We need the presence. We need the promise. We need the advocate. We need the helper to guide us, to give us wisdom, to show us what to do, to show us how to pray. We need courage. We need boldness. And my prayer for all of us today, for you today, is that Holy Spirit may seem mysterious to you. Maybe you haven't heard a whole lot about him, but we need him like we've never needed him before. It starts with being born again. That's where it starts. And Paul exhorts the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5:18, and he tells them, you need to be literally, you translate the Greek into English this way, you need to be being filled. It's a continual process, and we need him every single day. Every single day. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We can never be good enough. We cannot love other people on our own strength. We cannot be courageous. We cannot have peace. We can't do it without him. We need him. We need him. My exhortation to you today is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It starts with an invitation. Lord, I need you. I need you. I want more of you. What I see in the Bible, what I see in there, Lord, I want to see it in my life. I want to see the miracles. I want to see the signs and wonders. I want to see. I would love 3,000 people being saved. I would love to see that. I would love to see that. Going out to the fairgrounds and people flocking to hear the gospel. Going to the fairgrounds and seeing people that are lame and walking and all of that. You all, that is the kingdom of God coming through his people. He wants to do that. But he wants to do that through yielded vessels. And that is you. He's waiting for an invitation. Do you want him? Do you want him? He's the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit is. And he wants to come in. Will you let him? We're going to take the Lord's Supper today. It's a beautiful opportunity to say, Lord, I want more of you. Our little word paraclete is used another time. It's in 1 John chapter 2. And John is writing and says, I'm going to do it from memory. I want to get it right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, a paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. None of us are worthy, but Jesus paid it all, and we can come, and when we fail, when we're weak, Jesus knows that, and he's our advocate, and he's pleading our case before the Father, and he's left us his Spirit who wants to come in, who wants to comfort, who wants to empower, who wants to help us. We can't do it alone, and he knows that. We can't live the Christian life alone. We need him. And he wants, what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Wow, does the world need to see that, don't they? And it starts with knowing him and being born again and being filled with him and being his light in a dark, dark world. Father, we come. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are our advocate. And Lord, we don't want to just know about you. We don't just want to remember Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Lord, we need you. And we need a fresh encounter of you. I pray, Father, that you would make us hungry. Make us hungry. Make us hungry for more of you. Isaiah 61. Jesus' first sermon. You anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood and empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, showing forth the fruit and the power of the Spirit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your body broken. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our advocate, that you plead our case before the Father. Lord, we can never be good enough. And so we come to you, Jesus, and we just thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your body. And Lord, we come confessing our sins. If there's any sin that you need to confess before the Lord, do that now. You can do that quietly. Just confess your sins before the Lord. Us of our sins, and you heal us of all of our diseases. And we thank you that all of the punishment that we deserve was put on you at the cross, and that by your wounds, by your strength, our bodies are healed. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your blood. And we receive by faith everything you died to give us. We receive that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that we would want you, the fullness of who you are, the magnitude of your spirit, the power, the dunamis power, the courageous power, the healing power, that the same spirit that raised you from the dead is living inside of us. I pray, Lord, we would be ferocious with your love, that we would have peace, and Lord, that we would have courage, that we would have boldness in these days. Fill us, Father, with your spirit, more of you, Spirit of God, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Make us hungry for more of you, more of your spirit, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the Spirit song. Gentle, and you're also fire. And Lord, the church needs both right now. This world needs to see your people filled with boldness, filled with love, and filled with compassion, and only your spirit.